Giovanni nodded. It was always Stefano who took care of us. Eloisa rarely even showed her face, and there was hell if a baby cried for more than a few minutes. She would fly into a rage. She hit Giovanni more than once because he would always guard the door to slow her down so I could get the baby outside where she couldn't hear it cry anymore, Stefano said. You couldn't have been very old, Sasha said to Giovanni. He shrugged. Rico took more of a beating than I did. If she was really angry because the baby had the croup or something and cried at night, he was the one who had to face her. She wasn't turned into Child Protective Services? No one knew? Sasha asked. She put down her coffee cup and looked around the table at their faces. This is for real? And you still have dealings with her? It was obvious to Giovanni that she would have tried to kick his mother's ass had she been in the room. He loved that Sasha was outraged. She was all about family, and he could see she'd take care of their children, not palm them off on someone else. In a weird way, Eloisa felt the same. Family came first with her, and he knew, once she calmed down, his mother would respect Sasha for standing up to her and for the way she felt about supporting her brother. She's our mother, Stefano said. The weird thing was, even as children, we knew no one else could ever touch us, or she'd eat them alive. She was fierce in her protection of us, even from our father. Only she could discipline us. She doesn't come around that often, just enough to stir up trouble and then disappear again. She doesn't like me, Francesca said. Giovanni was happy there wasn't hurt in her voice. He took the chair beside Sasha, moving it just a few inches as he did, so they were close. He wasn't certain why he liked being near her all the time, but he did. She doesn't like anyone, Stefano said. I know you try to see the good in her, but baby, it isn't there often enough to make the effort. That's not true, Francesca protested. You know, with her, she's all about family. She was harsh, but you said she didn't allow anyone else to punish you. It's clear she doesn't realize Sasha has shadow blood in her. Sasha held up her hand and both men stiffened, going alert immediately. Francesca looked horrified and put her hand over her mouth, shifting her weight toward her husband, her gaze meeting his. I don't know what shadow blood means. I do know that both my brother and I have this weird thing where we can feel other people when our shadows touch theirs. We talked about it all the time. We could hear lies, and sometimes I could persuade people to tell me things I wanted to know. Sandlin could do it all the time. His ability seems to have amplified since the accident and the brain injury, almost as if it magnified the capacity. She looked at Giovanni. Is that why you're interested in me? Because of my strange abilities with shadows? He shook his head, reached for her hand, and pressed her palm over his heart. I saw you in the club. In the dark. Then the colored lights were flashing, and we were moving through crowds. No shadows, remember? I couldn't take my eyes off you, and was mortified when you overheard our conversation. Why is having shadow blood so important to your mother? Giovanni took a breath and let it out. This was one of those moments he hadn't wanted to get to until he knew Sasha was as much in love with him as he was with her. His eyes met Stefano's. He detested that he would either have to put her off or risk losing her. Baby, I'm going to ask you to wait for me to answer that. I swear to you, I will. But I fell in love with you because of who you are, not what. I'm hoping you did the same with me. Can you wait on that answer? Trust me that much? She was silent, studying his face. Her gaze went to Francesca and then Stefano. The clock seemed overly loud. Time stretched. Giovanni didn't realize he was holding his breath until his lungs began to burn. Sasha nodded slowly. I won't stop thinking about it, and just to let you know, I'm very good at solving puzzles. For instance, I know whoever broke into my apartment is someone who was in the club that night. I know it. Nothing else makes sense. Babe, someone can be across the street and see you and begin to fantasize, Giovanni said gently. It could be anyone. She nodded. You're right, of course. It could be. But it isn't. It's someone in Aaron Anderson's or John Darby's party. Or one of those cameramen who were close to them. Tell me why you're so certain. Because when someone's shadow meets mine, I feel them. Sandlin felt you immediately, and he could tell certain things about you. He practiced more than I did, and he's very good at reading people. I just get feelings, like dread. She pulled her hand away and pressed it to her stomach. I feel slightly sick if the person's intentions aren't very nice. I felt that in the club. The camera light and cell phones threw shadows all over that upper tier, and in particular, those two tables. That feeling was there, and it was the same when I was in my home and also in the parking garage. Giovanni couldn't deny that she was right. He'd felt dread as well. Even inside the Hendricks Center, he'd had the feeling that something wasn't right, that they were in danger, or he was, or Sandlin was. "That's pretty damning evidence," Stefano said. "If you felt that and recognized it, Sasha, why didn't you say something to Giovanni?" Maybe because we barely knew each other and I would have sounded like a loon?" The smile faded, and Sasha shrugged and speared Eggs Benedict onto her plate from the warmer. "I don't ever talk about how my shadow connects with someone's shadow, and I can tell if they're lying, or that I can feel what they feel. It doesn't matter that Sandlin talks about it all the time. No one believes what he's saying because he has a brain injury. If I said it, they'd lock me up." Stefano nodded. "There are a few people in the world who can do that. Feel emotions and intent when shadows touch. It's exhilarating, to say the least, and nice when others have the ability, so you don't feel like you're slightly crazy. I definitely would have felt that way without Sandlin. When he first talked to me about it, I was really young. I'd been to the doctor's office, and they said I probably wouldn't have to get a shot, but they all knew I would. I was upset that they'd lied to me, and it didn't make sense when I knew they'd been lying. Of course, I went to my big brother for answers, because that's what I always did. He told me that sometimes when my shadow touched another's, I would feel things about that other person. He said when I did, I needed to believe it, that I had it right. Then he explained that he had noticed it when he was very young as well. "Did you look at your shadow?" Giovanni asked. Francesca buttered toast fresh from the toaster and handed it to him. He took a bite and chewed, waiting for her answer. "Of course. My shadow is different from others. It isn't as solid. Well, that's not the right way to put it. It's got little shadows reaching out like arms or something, so my shadow can touch multiple shadows at once." She reached for the pot of coffee. Stefano got there first and poured the hot liquid into her mug. Francesca nudged the cream and sugar closer. "Did your mother or father have that same kind of shadow?" Sasha's gaze jumped to his face. His voice had been casual, but it was clear they were all waiting for her answer. "Both, as a matter of fact. They were extremely close and doted on Sandlin and me." "From what country did your family originate?" Again, Stefano sounded extremely casual. Too much so for someone like Sasha not to understand what he was asking was important. Sasha sighed. "You know, if you'd just tell me what shadow blood means, I would understand what you were looking for and just give you the information. I don't have anything to hide." "Shadow blood is a term we made up," Giovanni said. "We didn't have anything else to call those who have shadows like ours. So when we were children, we referred to anyone with shadows that had those feeler tubes as someone with shadow blood." She nodded. "My grandparents on my father's side immigrated from Russia to the United States, but his great-grandparents had gone from Sicily to Russia. Of course, our name changed from Spataro to Petrov, and then to Provis when my father's family came here. My mother's family also came from Sicily, and her great-grandparents changed their name as well. My father said his great-great-grandfather had to change the name because it was too dangerous at that time to keep their original name, Spataro." Stefano and Giovanni both sat back in their chairs and regarded her with more care. Clearly, her father had been from a shadow-riding family. Of course, the riders had escaped when the Saldis had attempted to wipe out every member, no matter how little blood in their veins. They wanted anyone related to the Ferraros stamped out. Only the riders escaped because they were able to slip into the shadows unseen. Most were gone when the massacre took place, and they took care to save the remaining family members before trying to avenge the deaths of their loved ones. The Mafia had risen to power, nearly taking the place of the government. Any other family who opposed them eventually came under attack. Most relocated. The Spataro family had been riders. At least her great-grandfather had been one. Giovanni leaned toward her. Did your mother's family settle in the same region of Russia as your father's family? She shook her head. No. According to the family history, the family immigrating from Sicily to Russia split up and hid in various regions. Whoever was hunting them would be looking for a concentrated amount of families from Sicily living close to one another. By splitting up, they were able to be safe. How did your parents meet? Giovanni knew, for his family, for all riders, and especially his mother, Sasha would be considered gold, a treasure, just like Mariko. When they had babies, those children would be strong in the gifts and abilities of a shadow rider. There were so few that all riders were expected to have children in order to always have protection for their families. Both were born here in the United States. My father's family settled in Wyoming. His father liked the open spaces and the life of a cattle rancher. My mother was actually on vacation, and she happened to go into a bar where there was dancing. My father was there, and they just hit it off. From what she said, they were inseparable from the moment they met. Did they talk to you about their shadows? She shook her head. Cattle ranching is an all-consuming business. We worked hard, from daylight or before until well after sundown. We grew our own food, so there was gardening to do. We hunted for meat and fished for the same reason. My parents were loving and sweet, but they worked harder than any two people I've ever seen. At night, my dad would fall asleep in his recliner with Mom sitting on his lap. She'd sometimes talk to us in a hushed voice, but mostly she fell asleep on top of him. Did you meet your cousins? Any aunts or uncles? She shook her head. There weren't any. As far as I know, my father was an only child, as was his father before him. Same with my mother. Don't worry too much about that picture of you in the tabloids, Stefano said. We'll get to the bottom of it and find out who sold it. I don't think it really matters, do you? She asked. It's out there. There's no getting it back. Everyone's got a good look at what's under my blouse. You're beautiful, Giovanni said. So fuck them. She flashed him an appreciative smile. It was brief and faded fast. I guess Darby got his way in the long run, she shrugged. When I go to work tonight, is West going to be upset with me and relegate me to the bottom tier? He told me the other night if I took the top and did well, he'd keep me there. Nancy wants to drop to part-time. If I can get the top tier, I can make enough money to pay for Sandlin's therapy in that place without working at the deli. I love the job there, because I'm beginning to know the neighborhood people, but I don't get to see Sandlin as often as he needs me to. Giovanni exchanged another long look with his brother. Neither thought it was safe for Sasha to work at either job. The news of their engagement was out, and that set her up as a target for any kidnapper bent on making money, not to mention the paparazzi. There was no way to tell someone until they experienced the crazy way they had to live in order to guard their privacy. Sasha. Giovanni kept his voice as gentle as possible. Right now, it will be very difficult for you to work without constant harassment. I can live with harassment, but Sandlin can't live outside that facility. She didn't look at him, but continued to eat. It isn't safe, Stefano said. When she continued to chew in silence, he sighed. Look at me, Sasha. It didn't matter that his tone was pitched low. It was a clear order, and no one disobeyed Stefano. When her eyes met his, he continued. We'll cover the cost of your brother's facility, because this wasn't your fault. Our security didn't get to you in time to stop what Darby did. We're responsible for not collecting all the cameras. Aaron Anderson is a friend of ours. We made the mistake of not looking at those at his table when we should have. Stop shaking your head and listen to me. I'm not allowing someone else to pay for my brother's care. Giovanni could hear the stubbornness in her voice. Her sapphire eyes practically flashed with fire. He leaned into her, unable to keep the grin off his face. Obstinate little woman. Are you insane? Stop thinking with your heart. Baby, of course you want to take care of him yourself. I completely understand that, but you can argue all you want to, Giovanni, Sasha said. But it won't do you any good. If I don't show up for work, people will think that stupid picture sent me running and hiding. Most everyone else will think I'm with you because of your money. I happen to know, because I was told, that some of the waitresses are out to snag one of you. Can you imagine what they're going to think? Do you think I give a damn what they think? Giovanni snapped. The point is to make certain you're safe. People are going to run their mouths no matter what. She smirked and picked up her coffee cup. Exactly. I can see I might want to strangle you a few dozen times a day. Probably. I know I'm going to feel that way about you. She sounded complacent. What exactly are we going to do about this engagement? I know you had to tell them you were family at the center in order to get Sandlin some help, but now it's plastered all over the world in every news outlet. We'll have to put the engagement ring on your finger, Giovanni said. He hadn't won the battle about her job, and he clearly wasn't going to. But he gave her his don't mess with me on this one voice. She took the hint, glanced around the table, shrugged, and subsided. He didn't know if she figured she would argue with him later when they were alone, or if she could tell by his face it wasn't up for discussion, and it wasn't. He wanted to make that very clear. He believed in marriage, having babies. Sandlin was his family as well as hers. That meant he was just as responsible. They'd have that discussion again. So, yeah, he'd concede on the work argument and put about 100 bodyguards on her. He'd be there as well. That way, she could win that battle and give him the important one, because first things first, get the ring on her finger and her promise. They'd work out the rest of it later. You're on the schedule tonight? Francesca asked. Sasha nodded. Luckily, my other uniform is in my locker at work. I know I have to go back to my apartment sooner or later, but not yet. She gave a little shudder. Knowing that man was in there, touching my things, using my toothbrush and shower, the things he did in my bedroom, I don't particularly want to be there anymore. Fortunately, we've already worked that out, Giovanni stated. She looked at him with her eyebrow raised, but she didn't protest. Chapter 10 Stefano walked into the club, Francesca on his arm. Taviano and Vittorio followed close behind, M.A. in between her two brothers. Rico and Marico followed them with Emilio and Enzo bringing up the rear. Their New York cousins were in town and were already at the club, waiting with Giovanni at their reserved table. A celebration was in order, although Giovanni's fiancée had insisted she was working. Even so, the family came out to celebrate, the way they did most things, together. Flashes went off all around them. Of course the paparazzi were there, with the exception of Sid Larson and Chesney Reynolds. They had been relegated to staying outside the club and hoping for a good shot of the newly engaged couple. The family made it very clear that photographers who cooperated with Ferraro policy were welcome. In fact, Giovanni had promised them a shot of the ring, a photograph that would be worth a tremendous amount. The family made their way up to their table where Giovanni waited with all three cousins. Salvatore, Luca, and Gino laughed with Giovanni, clearly giving him a very bad time. Giovanni glanced up as they approached the table, and he stood, as did his cousins. Francesca smiled at him as he leaned over to kiss her cheek, and then Marico's. Marika was new to the family, and she wasn't used to their affectionate way with one another, but she smiled and returned the kiss to his cheek. He caught Emmy around the waist and hugged her. "I got the ring on her finger, Emmy, but it wasn't easy." "How'd you manage? Stefano said she was giving you trouble." He grinned, elated now that he knew his ring was on Sasha's finger. He wished it was a size too small, so she couldn't get it off even if she wanted to, which he was sure she did. "I wrestled her to the floor, sat on her, and put it on her finger. It was the only way." He knew they thought he was joking, but he'd done exactly that. He'd taken her to his home, seduced her, managed to get her naked in under 7 minutes, and then, when she was too sated and drowsy after their lovemaking, he slid the ring on her finger. It was a special ring, made by his famous cousin, Damien Ferraro. Out of New York, Damien made custom jewelry for those who could afford his special talents. For the Shadow Riders, he used a special alloy that could move through the shadows with them. Each rider went to him in person, was interviewed, and then the ring made up. The interview consisted mainly of conversation and their cousin just asking a few questions. It was almost impersonal, but all of them knew he had a gift. He knew things. He read people. He was a seer in the sense that he saw inside each person who came to him. Damien didn't take suggestions. The ring was made in advance of the rider ever finding his woman. Somehow, he always chose the exact ring, the one that was perfect. Giovanni had been shocked when he'd gotten the ring from Damien. The engagement ring had no gemstones, which meant it was possible he would find a rider. The alloy could withstand the pull of the shadows, but the gemstones could not. If his partner wasn't a rider, then she was a woman capable of going into the shadows. That, at least, meant he could keep her safe. The ring was a work of art, just as everything Damien made was. On Sasha's finger, it looked beautiful, as if made just for her, which, technically, it had been. He should have cautioned his cousin to smear superglue on the inside of it. "She really is working?" M.A. asked. He pulled out a chair for her. "Stubborn as all get-out," he responded and seated himself beside her so they could talk above the pounding music. Even Stefano talked to her and got nowhere. He'd pull out his hair if Sasha was his woman. "She'll need to be stubborn if she's going to really marry you," M.A. stated. She grinned at him, obviously happy for him. "Stefano and Francesca really like her. That's saying a lot." She glanced over to the table of men a few feet from the stairs. "I see you have bodyguards everywhere. Let's hope she isn't as adept at spotting them as you are. I've got two tables on this tier and one on the one below us. Four roving patrols and more scattered throughout the club. We did go over the rules, and she knows how to signal for security. She did ask that they wait for the signal." M.A. rolled her eyes. "Does she know you yet?" "She does. She laid down the law to me. When I smiled at her, she shook her head and stomped away." That made Emanuele laugh. "Do you really think this stalker is going to come tonight?" "Don't you?" Giovanni took a long, slow look around the club. "He's here. Where else would he be? He can't get to her anywhere else. He wants contact with her, and he'll make it, too. I'm betting on it." "Look who else showed up tonight," Emanuele said, and gestured to the large party moving up the stairs to the VIP section. Giovanni clenched his teeth to keep from swearing aloud. Aaron Anderson. The man was a walking menace. Women fell all over him. He was that good-looking. He was charming as well. He always had an entourage with him, and this time was no different. He recognized several of the men moving up the stairs. As usual, they were all mixed martial arts fighters and good ones. Aaron was friends with most of the fighters. "You wouldn't consider sacrificing yourself and flirting your little ass off, would you?" he asked his sister. "He's always had a thing for you." "He has not, Emanuele. Every man has a thing for you. You just don't see it, or you choose not to. At least with everyone but Val Saldi." He glanced at Stefano and lowered his voice even more, turning his head so there was no chance that his brother could pick up what they were saying. If you care to share what happened between you two, I'm a good listener. I know he matters to you. If he matters to you, he matters to me. He did come through for our family. Emanuele's mask slipped just for a minute, and he glimpsed pain there. It's always been him. You know that. Since I was 16 years old, I thought I'd outgrow it. But apparently, that's not going to happen. She sighed. He isn't exactly pining away for me the way I am for him. In any case, we both know it would never work between our two families, so there's no point in talking about it. Of course there is. If you're hurting. He wanted to wrap his sister up and hold her close to him. He detested that she was in pain. He knew it wasn't Val's fault, but he still would like to punch him. I'm good. I'm just working through accepting it. As long as I don't have to see him with other women or read about it somewhere, I'll be good. He touched her face gently. You know I'm really sorry, Bella. If I could fix it for you, I would. He'd do anything for her. Any of her brothers would, including Stefano. Especially Stefano. She turned to watch Aaron seat himself two tables away, in Sasha's section. He is good-looking. Maybe I'll ask him to dance. Now that she said it, perversely, Giovanni wasn't too certain he wanted his sister to have anything to do with the man. He liked Aaron, and didn't want Emma breaking his heart, which she would. She was beautiful, intelligent, and sweet. It would be impossible not to fall in love with her, but Emanuele, like the rest of them, had a duty to their family. She had to marry a rider, or a man capable of producing children who could be riders. Eloisa is pushing me to meet some of the riders from other countries. Emanuele made a face. I think she wants to hold a ball, like I'm some kind of prize. A little shiver of revulsion crept through her body. I suppose it doesn't really matter, does it? It's not as if Prince Charming is going to show up and rescue me from the evil dragon. It happened for me. Not Prince Charming, but definitely the princess. Giovanni's gaze sought out his woman. She was smiling and nodding as she served drinks to the table farthest away from the Ferraro table. Her smile faded when she put down drinks at the next one. She shook her head twice and stepped back as she collected her tip. Drago and Demetrio made as if to stand, and then settled back in their seats as Sasha moved away from the table and went to the bodyguard's table. She took their orders with that same smile plastered on her face, the one he knew didn't mean a thing. She was going to Aaron's table next, and he found his belly tightening. She can't run away. Half the room is guarding her. His sister's soft laughter made him aware he was also clenching his fists. He didn't like that he could be jealous and possessive. Sasha was a woman of her word. There was no mistaking that. Those traits he had, and they were far stronger than he'd like, were not attractive ones in his opinion. He was even slightly ashamed of them. Aaron was his friend and would respect the engagement ring on her finger. There was a code of honor between men. That ring was the line one didn't cross. He wasn't going to embarrass Sasha or himself by being jealous. He made himself join in his sister's laughter. Sasha looked up, and his heart nearly stopped and then accelerated when her eyes met his. Her face went soft when she looked at him. He didn't deserve that look on her face, like he was something special, her white knight. Still, he wanted her to look at him like that for the rest of their lives. He was glad he'd overcome such a petty reaction as jealousy. He put his hand over his heart, and to his shock, she reciprocated. 2 hours went by, Stefano occasionally dancing with Francesca. Rico spent a great deal of time dancing with Mariko. Emanuele mostly danced with her cousins and refused invitations politely when other males asked her to dance. Giovanni decided he needed to keep a better eye on his sister. She seemed sad, too sad for a woman of her age. They had duties, and it weighed heavily on them, but he didn't think forcing Emanuele to carry them out if she wasn't happy was right. Sasha worked the top tier where the family could better protect her. Like the VIPs she served drinks to, she was protected from the others in the club. Giovanni wanted her sitting at the table with the family, but his woman was stubborn and very determined to work in order to pay for the care of her brother on her own. He could see he was going to have to choose his battles with her carefully. He enjoyed watching her. It no longer mattered if everyone saw him. Their engagement had been announced, and his ring was on her finger. She had the protection of the Ferraro family, and that made him happy. Still, he couldn't help but be on edge. The feeling of dread persisted in the pit of his stomach and kept him on alert. Sasha came to their table often, and each time she came up to his side, her body subtly brushed up against his. He was careful, knowing others watched, to not touch her where anyone could see. But it was easy enough to drop one hand below the table and stroke her leg, upper thigh, taking in all that smooth skin. Sasha did small things to make him aware of her. She dropped a napkin in his lap, and when she retrieved it with a small, shocked apology, her fingers slid over his cock. She didn't mean to touch him for his body to react to her presence, but when she did, it wasn't just about the sexual response. It was the fact that she was playing, teasing him, making him the center of her attention without seeming to do so. He had never had that before, the way she made him feel as if he really were the center of her universe, and he looked forward to each time she came to their table. The club was in full swing, packed with people dancing and drinking. Midnight had come and gone. Giovanni wanted the night over so he could spend time with his woman. "If you'll excuse me," Francesca said, "I need to use the ladies' room, and then I would very much like my husband to dance with me again." Stefano kissed her hand and rose with her. At once, all the men stood. Two tables away and below them, Emilio and Enzo came to their feet. Francesca looked at Emanuele and rolled her eyes and laughed. Salvatore held out his hand to Emanuele. "Dance with me, cousin. I'm not in the mood to hold women at bay." Emanuele stood and gave him a little curtsy. Giovanni glanced at his watch. His woman would be on her break in another 5. He rose to his feet and stretched, wishing the metal was out of his leg and he could accompany Stefano. His family would be exacting payment for what John Darby had done to Sasha. He wanted to be there. He needed to be there. But those pins, bolts, and plates that had saved his leg also prevented him from doing his job. Emilio stepped in front of Stefano and Francesca as they started down the stairs. Rico and Marico followed. Emanuele and Salvatore were right behind. Giovanni's other brothers, Vittorio and Taviano, all but prowled down the stairs. Gino and Luca followed them. Enzo closed in behind them. Giovanni turned toward the bar that was set up in between the 2 tiers. There were 2 of them, one serving the upper level and the other the bottom row. He watched as the Ferraro family captured the spotlight as they moved together, the men as well as Marico and Emanuele wearing their signature pinstriped suits. Francesca wore a little black dress that hugged her breasts and flared at her hips, the hem short. She wore heels and sheer stockings, her thick hair falling free to her waist. She was beautiful, and flashes went off, capturing every movement. Stefano walked with her, his arms around her, his mouth on her neck, then her shoulder, one hand sliding over her hip. Stefano was rarely with Francesca without touching her. Giovanni knew what that felt like. The moment he was with Sasha, he wanted his hands on her. Stefano nuzzled Francesca's neck as they threaded their way through the crowd. "You look beautiful tonight." She put her head back and smiled at him, her eyes warm and loving. "You picked out my dress?" "It isn't the dress." He ran his hand over her hip. "I like touching you." "I like you touching me." They were nearly to the ladies' room, and he spun her around and took possession of her mouth. Francesca did what she always did. No matter where they were, no matter who was around, she gave herself to him, kissing him without reservation, trusting him to control the situation if they were in public. Stefano loved that she gave him that control and trust. He spent a few long moments indulging himself. He loved her beyond everything and everyone in his life. She was his entire world, and if anything happened to her, if anyone threatened her the way Giovanni's woman was being threatened, he'd lock her up so fast her head would spin. Then he would go hunting until he found the culprit. He knew how frustrated his brother was, frustrated and angry. He couldn't imagine being sidelined while his woman was in danger. He watched Francesca disappear behind the door, and, as always, when she wasn't directly in his care, hard knots of tension developed in his gut. Mariko sent him a small smile and followed his woman in. Emanuele was added protection, and then finally Enrica, Emilio's sister. Emilio had trained her, and she was a damned good bodyguard. That meant with Mariko, Emanuele, and Enrica with Francesca, he could breathe easier. He stepped into the men's room, his cousins and brothers moving in a tight group after him. The lights threw shadows in all directions. He stepped into one and was instantly pulled into the tube, his body feeling as if it were flying apart. Somewhere behind him, he knew Vittorio had also chosen a shadow. They moved from shadow to shadow, unerringly seeking one house. John Darby resided in an upscale community. Everyone knew where he lived because the parties were endless, and his neighbors reported him often to the police in hopes of some relief from the continual noise and drunks vandalizing their neighborhood. Security gates were closed tight, presumably to keep out anyone who would protest the wild party going on. Stefano blew past the gates and went straight to the two-story house. Wide, open balconies provided space for the men and women spilling out of the house. Glass broke as drunks smashed bottles and glasses against the walls or tossed them over the railing. Music blasted from somewhere inside, the sound reverberating through the entire valley. It was no wonder the neighbors complained. At 1 o'clock in the morning, they would want sleep, not to listen to John Darby's particular brand of shrieking guitars. Stefano moved unseen through the house, seeing the smashed furniture, the drugs, and the half-dressed women and men as they wound themselves around one another. Cameras were mounted everywhere, so many in each room that every angle of the interior was being recorded. On the outside, each balcony had been given the same treatment. Not seeing Darby anywhere throughout the house, Stefano caught another shadow and rode it to the master bedroom. The room was dark, and Darby was alone in his bed. Porn was on the huge screen, taking up one wall of his room. He was lying naked on the sheets, alternating looking between the screen and the mirror above his head, while he frantically worked his very soft and uncooperative cock. Vittorio emerged in the mouth of the shadow tube beside Stefano and pointed to the cameras that were set up to catch bedroom activities should a woman be so foolish as to join Darby in his room. The report Stefano had read on Darby's reality show proved more than one woman had made that mistake. The cameras were off, all four of them. Vittorio was very, very good at disrupting energy as well as causing power surges. One quick surge and the cameras began recording. Darby was too busy trying to get himself off and having no luck to notice the tiny red lights shining, signaling the cameras were on. Because he found the entire thing distasteful, Stefano signaled his brother and they moved back into the main part of the house, staying to the shadows so the cameras couldn't catch a glimpse of them. They had to keep their eye on the time. By now, Francesca had left the ladies' room, and his cousin, Luca, playing the part of Stefano, had caught her to him right in the center of his family and had taken her to the darkest corner, a lover's tryst, while his family blocked all access to them. He could be seen from the back, nuzzling his wife while his brothers, the women, and his cousins visited. It was necessary, in order to keep the illusion of his presence, that he return quickly with Vittorio. They re-entered Darby's room after shutting off the cameras in all other parts of the house. He was sitting up, looking down at his flaccid penis in disgust. Vittorio took care of the cameras, making certain they were no longer recording. "Having problems?" Stefano asked. Darby yelped and fell from the edge of the bed to the floor. Stefano glided closer. You really shouldn't have messed with one of my employees. I had a talk with you, and you promised you would behave yourself. Darby started to move, but Stefano stepped on his hand hard. Darby screamed, but Stefano didn't move. He just stood over him, smiling down at him. Did you think it would up your ratings to show her naked body on your television show? Darby tried to crawl away, but Stefano didn't move. He ground down harder. When I speak to you, I expect an answer. And, Johnny boy, I can hurt you in ways you never imagined. No, no! Darby held up his other hand to ward him off. You don't understand. Bitches like it. They want to be seen on my show. No, they don't. They don't sue you because you blackmail them with the crap you're recording. You give them date rape drugs in their drinks, and then you record your friends with them and tell them you're going to release those videos. You make a little side money that way, Johnny boy. You blackmail them on top of raping and humiliating them. Darby kept shaking his head, still trying to scoot away. You do, though. I had you investigated. I do believe that the day of reckoning has arrived. That little porn film you're watching, the rape of that girl by a couple of frat boys, is that the only way you can get off now, hurting women? I think the world wants to see that, don't you? The ratings of your show will go right through the roof. He waved his hand toward the screen. Vittorio, from the shadows, produced the necessary surge of electricity, and the recording of Darby on the bed, mixed with the film and the mirror moving back and forth, showed the reality star's underwhelming cock and the frantic pace he'd set with his fist that had clearly done no good. Audio had picked up his continual hoarse shouting at the two frat boys on the bed with the restrained girl, urging them on, telling them to hurt her and shouting graphic instructions to them. Darby looked horrified. You can't. It's playing all over town right now. Live feeds, you know. It wasn't hard to arrange. Stefano leaned down. You ever touch a member of my family or a person under our protection again, I'll come after you, and you will wish you were dead before you die. Do we have an understanding? Darby frantically nodded. The music had stopped and the house was eerily silent. Stefano stepped back into the shadows. Vittorio's foot snapped out of the shadows, delivering a kick between Darby's open legs. He howled and doubled over. The Ferraros were gone, riding the shadows into the next room where the screens were all playing and replaying the same video of John Darby. Sasha was a little tired of the men smirking at her and staring pointedly at her breasts, held in by the lace of her camisole. If she hadn't needed the money so badly, she would gladly have taken a few days off in the hopes that another scandal would have taken the attention of the bored celebrities and their entourages she served drinks to. Most groups were polite, but there were a few that annoyed her. She had to laugh at herself about that, because she'd been fantasizing pretty heavily about playing Giovanni's game. She would ask him to dance first. She'd already scoped out the darkest corners in the club. She knew when they took the dance floor the paparazzi would go crazy, and that was okay. Hopefully they'd get bored. She hoped to enlist Mariko, Francesca, and Emanuele in her little dance of seduction. They just had to get the attention of the paparazzi and give her some time alone with her man. If she managed to do half the things she wanted to do to Giovanni, she would definitely deserve the smirks and knowing looks she was getting. Then, after being completely sated and feeling smug, she wouldn't mind those looks. The thought made her smile. She glanced up at his table. His family had headed down to the dance floor. They all seemed to like to dance, and they were very good at it. She had to admit, the Ferraro family was very good-looking and drew the eye. She had been known to stare a bit at them when she first was hired, earlier in the month. Of course, she worked the floor far down below their elevated status. She'd found herself staring at Giovanni every time he went onto the floor, until she realized he was such a player. Now she wasn't so sure. He didn't seem like one when he was with her. He kept his gaze fixed on her. Not once, even now, when his brothers were on the dance floor and he would have had an excuse— did he look down at the other women. Sasha looked. She made a slow perusal of the club and the women while she waited for the tray of drinks to take up to two of the tables. Most were beautiful, really beautiful. Their clothes were quality, clearly designer. Their hair was styled perfectly, and most dripped gold and diamonds. How had Giovanni overlooked them to find her? It wasn't that she thought the others were better than her in any way. She didn't. Sasha had confidence in herself as a woman. She could take care of herself and her brother. On the other hand, she knew her heart was very vulnerable, and she'd always protected it. When she loved with everything in her. She was intensely loyal and expected the same. She wanted a home and family. She also believed in a strong partnership. She didn't want Giovanni to make the mistake of thinking he was going to take care of her. Her gaze was pulled inevitably back to him. He was so handsome he took her breath away. He really did. She could barely breathe sometimes when she got close to him and inhaled his scent. He had the kind of body artists sculpted or painted. He was sweet to her and caring. She hadn't planned to fall for him. She'd started out thinking he was the worst kind of human being, and somewhere along the line she'd fallen under his spell. "You look like you got it bad, Sasha," Alan, the bartender, said. She laughed and turned back to him. "I do. He's very sweet to me." "So it's really true? You're engaged to him?" She held up her left hand and showed him the unusual band. "I am." It was important to play along with the engagement, so the center continued to believe she was with Giovanni and the Ferraro family. She wasn't the best security possible for her brother, and the truth was, she liked the thought of being engaged to him, but that she kept to herself. Fingers brushed her wrist, as if the person wanted to see her ring. She turned toward the man standing that little bit too close to her. James Corledge and Tom Maryland, the MMA fighters who always came in with Aaron, stood close, crowding her against the bar. She dropped her hand to the tray, but James and Tom could clearly see the ring.
"Looks like your little ploy worked," James snickered.
"I told Aaron you were interested in the Ferraros. All the servers here are. Pay someone to rip your blouse, and he's all about saving you." His voice was nasty, sneering. She stepped back away from him. When she stepped back, she did so right into his friend, Tom. He didn't move. He felt like an oak tree, his body hard from all the workout and training for fights he'd done. She was used to men with hard bodies. She was from an area of cattle ranchers, men who rode and worked for a living, so Tom didn't intimidate her. Sasha glanced at him over her shoulder. Tom wore the same mask of contempt as James did. She stepped to the opposite side, moving closer to the bar and away from both men. She knew she could signal the security guards. Right now, they probably thought the men were being friendly. The fact that she could summon help made her feel confident.
"What did you do to get his attention?"
Tom sneered.
"Give him a blowjob? I hear that's one way girls like you snare wealthy men."
James nudged her with his foot, keeping the action small so Alan, behind the bar, couldn't see him.
"You like giving blowjobs, Sasha?"
She sent him a small frown, feigning confusion and a wealth of being sorry for him.
"Doesn't your girlfriend like to give you blowjobs? Because if she doesn't, maybe you need to figure out why.
Cleanliness is at the top of the list, and then there's what you eat. You want to take care of yourself, or she's just not going to go there." She switched her attention to the bartender.
"Do you have those drinks up yet, Alan?"
He grinned at her.
"Right here, Sasha."
He pushed the tray toward her and then switched his attention to the two men.
"What can I get for you? Usually your server will take your orders."
"Our server is too busy flirting her ass off with the Ferraros to bother with us," Tom said.
Alan glanced at his watch.
"I don't know when she would have had time to do that, sir. We keep strict watch on all servers, and she's more than meeting the requirements to keep drinks on the table. But if you want to file a complaint—"
James cursed and shook his head, turning away to start up the stairs after Sasha. She was very conscious of the two men coming up fast right behind her. She could actually feel hot breath on her neck as she neared the top.
They were deliberately harassing her, and she wasn't certain why. As she gained the top tier, she spun around and faced them.
"Did I do something to offend you?"
she asked James deliberately, looking him straight in the eye. Let him defend himself for a change.
"As I recall, you were the one who was all over me the other night, and in fact, you sent me chocolates to make amends. What changed between then and now?"
"You didn't even bother to look around you at any other men," James accused. "You set your sights on Ferraro, yet you flirted your ass off with Aaron, making him think he had a chance. You also made certain I was looking, and so was Tom."
Her breath caught in her throat.
"I didn't. I didn't flirt with anyone that night. You were all drunk, and I thought all of you were a bunch of wealthy players with far too much money and no manners. None of you impressed me."
Tom narrowed his eyes at her. "Yet you're wearing Giovanni Ferraro's ring." She supposed that was a bit of damning evidence against her. She shrugged.
"I did nothing to either of you, or Aaron. If he wanted to see me outside of the club, he gave no indication. I appreciate that you're both his good friends, but I'm a little tired of you acting as if it's your right to persecute me."
She swung away from them and went to the table where the four men waited for their drinks. One smiled at her.
"Are they giving you a hard time?"
The question sounded casual enough, but something in the man's voice caught her attention, as if he was really asking, not just being nice. She had the feeling that if she answered in the negative, he, and possibly the others, would jump up, pummel the two men, and throw them out. She hadn't noticed just how fit these men were beneath their flawless suits. More, they weren't dancing. In fact, they weren't even looking at the women on the club floor. She had put the table down to out-of-towners, businessmen looking for relaxation. Now she wasn't so certain.
"Seriously, honey," another said. "If they're giving you a hard time, say the word and we'll take care of it."
She flashed a quick smile and pocketed their generous tip.
"Thanks, really, but I can handle them."
She turned away, hesitated, and then turned back. They had to know, just to keep them safe. She didn't want them taking matters into their own hands. "They're mixed martial arts fighters, all of them at that table, and I believe most have won championships in their divisions. I really appreciate the offer, but security is excellent here. You just enjoy yourselves and the evening." She gave them her high-wattage smile and moved to the next table. Two gentlemen gave her smiles. They'd gone down to the dance floor twice the entire evening, but not at the same time. Both had been respectful as well as being generous tippers. She put their drinks in front of them and turned to go back down the stairs. Her stomach sank. Aaron stood waiting for her a few feet away.
"Ma'am?"
One of the men stopped her, his voice pitched low.
"If you need help, just shout out."
Did she look that fragile or worried? She didn't like to think so. She wasn't a woman who depended on others to defend herself. She flashed a smile and shook her head.
"No problem, really. I'll be fine."
She hoped she wasn't lying to them, or to herself.
"Mr. Anderson, is there something I can do for you?"
She went straight up to him, deciding to get it over with.
"Aaron. Call me Aaron."
She nodded.
"Aaron, then. What can I do for you?"
She walked past him to his table, ignoring James and Tom. Aaron leaned close to her.
"I need to talk to you. Somewhere private."
He kept his voice to a near whisper, as if just standing there with her wasn't going to cause undue attention.
"I'm working."
Sasha pointed out the obvious, setting his drink in front of his seat. She turned to go. Anderson caught her wrist, a wad of bills in his other hand.
"I'm serious. It's for your own good. I'm not trying to be a dick, but someone needs to warn you."
He pushed the cash into her hand. "Please, just give me 2 minutes, and take your tip." Sasha hesitated, and then nodded.
"I'm heading to the bar to grab more drinks. You can either walk with me and talk, or be down there and talk while I get the drinks."
She was firm about that. She wasn't going anywhere alone with him. She just didn't trust anyone. Giovanni was close, but that didn't mean he could get to her if some crazy man with too many fantasies tried to hurt her. Sandlin needed her alive. It was possible, even probable,
She'd been too stubborn about working this soon. Aaron followed her as she made her way around the tables toward the stairs. There was just enough room for the two of them to walk side by side as they descended. She didn't so much as glance at Giovanni. She had the feeling he wouldn't like Aaron walking so close to her. She didn't like it, especially every time his body brushed against hers. She was fairly sure Aaron was sliding up against her deliberately every chance he got. "He's a player," Aaron announced. Sasha glanced up at him. It wasn't what she expected. Not at all. She'd braced herself for something different, something to do with the picture of her breasts exposed. She had been getting a few propositions, and after what James and Tom had said to her and the way they'd treated her, she was expecting the same from Aaron. "Excuse me?" "Giovanni. He's my friend. I've known him a long time. If anyone knows a Ferraro, but he's a player. Straight up. A good man, but a player. He's never going to go through with the wedding." She continued down the stairs, keeping her eyes on where she was going. He put his hand under her elbow and gripped, as if helping her down. She didn't like to be touched when she hadn't invited it, and after that ghastly, very public picture in the tabloids for the world to see, she really didn't like it. Too many men, as she served them their drinks, had brushed against her body, as if they had the right. It wasn't anything she could call security over, but it made her skin crawl. His friends had been the most disrespectful, and that seemed to be on his behalf. When she didn't reply, Aaron continued. "Look, I know you're going to think I have an agenda, and maybe I do. I noticed you right away and tried to get your attention. I was drunk and went about it wrong. But it was genuine interest. Giovanni knows that. He's competitive. Do you think this is the first time we've competed for a woman?" She hadn't paid attention to anything he said until the last. It made sense, given what she knew about Giovanni. He was competitive, and he detested the way women threw themselves at his brothers, cousins, and especially him. She couldn't help the sideways glance she gave Aaron. She knew immediately he would take that as a go-ahead to continue. "End it. Give him the ring back. Tell him you don't want anything to do with him." She didn't know what to say or how to react. She wasn't someone who doubted herself. She knew she was good-looking. Okay, more than good-looking. She also knew quite a few men thought she was sexy. She had curves and confidence. She wasn't a shrinking violet. She liked sex, and what's more, she enjoyed giving her partner pleasure, in particular Giovanni. "Give me a chance. This competition you and Giovanni are supposed to have, does it involve money?" He shot her a quick glance, and then shifted his gaze away, nodding. She couldn't judge his voice by his nod. She had to hear the lie. She couldn't see it. "So you bet whether or not you could lure me away from him?" "No, God, no. Of course not. I wouldn't do that." "Yet you have money on the table between you. How exactly did the bet go?" She stopped and turned so she was right in front of him, challenging him. She wanted to hear his voice. "And look me right in the eye. If you're betting on my downfall, the least you can do is look me in the eye when you tell me about it." He sighed. "He bet me 1,000 he could wrap you up before I did." Her churning stomach settled. He was lying. She saw it in his eyes and heard it in his voice. Why he was lying, she didn't know, but he was definitely trying to break up her and Giovanni. "We're done. Please don't talk to me again," she said. "And I hope Giovanni realizes you aren't his friend at all." Deliberately, she turned her back on him and went to the bar to get the drinks for her other tables. Chapter 11 A half hour later, Sasha finally got a well-deserved break. Nancy was supposed to cover her tables much earlier, but she continued to have headaches and had lain down in the lounge to try to combat the one she had, so Sasha had taken both tiers. The Ferraro family sat in full force at their table, which made it just a little intimidating to approach. Still, the ring on her finger gave her an added boost of confidence. She went right up to the table, stood across from Giovanni deliberately between Gino and Salvatore, his two cousins who had played their game. She smirked at both of them and then locked eyes with Giovanni.
"Would you care to dance with me, Giovanni?"
She sent him a sultry smile, her voice pure seduction. Gino